Manx Radio's update with Barry Redfern.
Faster my. Good evening, it's 5:30. This is Update for Thursday, the 23rd of June, 2022. A 30-minute roundup of the news on the Isle of Man. This evening, the number of COVID cases continues to increase. We look at the latest situation. And MHK says EasyJet's decision to cancel its Manchester flights to and from the island is extremely disappointing. And the government has now announced who will be able to dispense cannabis products. Those stories coming up in just a moment in Update.
Man Benham for all your business and legal needs.
First of all, at 29 minutes to 6, the news headlines from Dave Moore. Fast am I, Dave.
Fast am I. Carson's Cut Pharmacy has been awarded the licence to import and dispense medicinal cannabis products. It will operate the scheme as a pilot for a minimum of 12 months to help develop a governance process and measure the demand for the service. Treasury Minister Alex Allenson says even though government's still assessing the rising cost of living, people need to make sure they're budgeting for further increases. So far, nearly 10,000 payments have been made to help those struggling to pay energy bills. A former pub landlord who fled to the Isle of Man after deliberately setting fire to his business has been sentenced to 40 months in prison. 55-year-old Timothy Charles Sharp of Waverley Terrace Ramsey pleaded guilty at Bradford Crown Court to arson with intent to damage property and being reckless as to whether the life of another was endangered. It could be a summer of difficulties and delays at Heathrow Airport after British Airways ground staff voted to strike. Staff wanted a 10% pay cut brought in during the pandemic reversed. They say the current offer doesn't cut the mustard. Meanwhile, travellers in the UK have been facing disruption on day two of the rail strikes. About half the networks closed across England, Wales and Scotland. The RMT union's warning there are more to come if a pay and job security deal isn't reached. And a solicitor representing the families of victims of Stephen Port say they think police action in the case was driven in part by homophobia. A watchdog's to look again at the actions of officers and why it took so long to link the murders in East London in 2014 and 15. Those are the update news headlines. The next bulletin is at 6.
Man Benham. Contact us by phone, video call, email or face to face. We're happy to connect with you. Manx Radio Weather with Manx Glass and Glazing.
And there'll be some sunshine in the morning tomorrow, but increasing cloud in the afternoon and perhaps a few showery outbreaks of rain by the evening. Light or moderate south or southeast winds and temperatures up to 17 or 18 Celsius. The outlook is more unsettled generally over the weekend. It'll be cool and breezy with a few showers at times. Sunrise 4:46 a.m. tomorrow and sunset today at 9:55 p.m.
Visit the Manx Glass and Glazing website and get your instant quote online. Manxglass.com.
The island's COVID reproduction rate, or R number, has jumped up to 5.15 over the last 7 days. That's an increase in the R number from 4.67 the previous week, that's 16th of June. Rob Pritchard reports.
The figures have been published as part of the latest weekly surveillance report by Public Health. Meanwhile, the 7-day average of confirmed positive test results locally now stands at 228, up from 81 last week. Public Health says the recent influx of people on Ireland over the TT fortnight and the recent bank holidays are likely to have affected the patterns of spread. The latest report states, as of Tuesday, there were 18 people in hospital who had the virus. 78% of those were fully vaccinated and had received at least one booster, 11% had received two jabs without a booster, and another 11% were unvaccinated. No further COVID-related deaths have been recorded on the Isle of Man in the last 7 days. The number of people who've died with coronavirus since the start of the pandemic stands at 108. With regards to recorded cases, Public Health says the numbers identified remains dependent on patterns of testing and reporting. Officials add it's likely there are more cases than are currently being notified.
The island's political member responsible for tourism has had his say on disruption to EasyJet flights between the island and Manchester between July and September. Rob Callister admits it's likely to affect the island greatly and says people deserve confidence and clarity when booking journeys.
I think it'll affect it greatly. I think we obviously coming out of a very difficult period with hardly no tourism activity over the last two and a half years. It was great to have the TT back and welcoming thousands of visitors to our island. But as we're trying to build on that and to have a successful season in 2022 going into 2023, the news by EasyJet that they're not going to be running any flights on the islands between July and September is extremely disappointing for locals and for tourism alike. But we have to also put this into context. The aviation world at the moment is going through turmoil, and it's not just for the Isle of Man.
Can government be more proactive in talks with airlines such as EasyJet to plan for the future and make the situations for passengers easier to adapt and allow passengers time to prepare?
Well, I think there's a two phase on that. I think there's one is getting that regularity on our flights. How many flights have been cancelled, you know, with little or short notice to the consumer? I think that needs to be reviewed. People want confidence that when they book a flight, that the flight will leave the Isle of Man on time and it will arrive back in the Isle of Man on time.
In the immediate term, there are residents and visitors, whether it's for leisure or business, who are stuck with this disruption. What sort of alternative arrangements and support are available?
I think we have to remember that we're not actually losing the Manchester flight. There will still be at least two daily services to Manchester in the morning, in the afternoon, by an alternative carrier. I think during this period of uncertainty, it's important for passengers to understand their rights. And these include the ability to choose between a refund or an alternative flight to the same destination. Even if this is with another airline, with the costs met by the airline the passenger originally booked with. Alternatively, passengers may also be entitled to an additional support towards cost of accommodation, depending on the flight that was cancelled and the notification given.
The infrastructure minister says tackling unsociable behaviour on the island's green lanes is not a priority. Several Tynwald members asked Chris Thomas to enforce stricter rules on who can use the routes, particularly off-road bikes. John Moss has this report.
We have speeding gangs of scramble bikers, motocross racers and all the rest of it on our greenways. Certainly placed myself and family in danger, where we were literally knocked out of the way into the hedge to escape from serious injury.
When we had experienced a couple of near misses as bikes came around a corner so quickly and nearly hit us, we called it a day. I did contact the relevant people about this, but the impression given was that there isn't enough resource.
I'm not going to announce a review today. I hope the Honourable Questioner can agree with me that sorting out buses is an immediate time priority. There are issues at the airport about off-island travel. However, this is an important issue and we will get to it in time. I think the right way to do it, rather than announcing yet another review, is actually to take it seriously in the department.
The Minister, Chris Thomas, and some members of Tynwald who feel strongly about this, but there are those who argue the island, which advertises itself as a biking island, has room for all creeds. David Knight, MBE, says he's been subject to attacks by walkers.
In fact, I've had the other way, where I've had ramblers smacking me around the head and arms with sticks out walking. Unfortunately, you just get a small minority of people that just hate anything. They just get on the high horse and do everything they can to get it stopped because they don't agree with it. And you always want to get a handful of people in any walk of life that don't do the proper thing or go off piste.
They do cause damage, though, don't they? Bikes on soft green lanes do cause damage, do cause ruts, deep ruts.
Well, 99% of the green lanes over here now are just rock. Of course, bikes are going to cause a few ruts here and there in the winter. A few of the lanes are closed in the winter anyway to stop that. But then, like, I went up one this year on my mountain bike that was shut up Balacob and Balaf in the winter. And there was about 200 cattle up there, which made more of a mess than any motorbike ever would. The government, at the end of the day, the green lanes are public highways, so the government should be keeping on top of them, which you haven't done for years.
To comment on the update news agenda, call Manx Radio anytime on 682 631 or email update@manxradio.com.
The government's announced who'll be able to import and dispense medicinal cannabis products. Carson's Pharmacy has been awarded the licence. Amy Griffiths has more.
This news means island residents with private prescriptions for medicinal cannabis products will be able to get them locally for the first time. Carsons Onchan Pharmacy will be the only on-island facility with the licence. Government says after evaluating the responses to the procurement exercise, it's decided to only award one licence. Carsons will operate the scheme as a pilot for a minimum of 12 months to help develop a governance process and measure the demand for the service. Manx residents will need to get a private prescription from a private clinic in either the UK or Crown Dependencies from clinicians who have permission to prescribe CBPMs. Cannabis products will not be available on the NHS or through Manx Care for the time being, and residents will be personally responsible for paying for them, including the cost of consultation, prescriptions and the medicine itself. Government will publish FAQs in the coming weeks explaining exactly how the process will work and when the service will start, which is hoped to be before the end of summer.
Sea Watch with the Isle of Man Steam Packet Company.
And the Ben McCree, which left Heysham at 3:30, is expected here in Douglas at 7:15. The Mananan is leaving Liverpool, 7:15, arriving in Douglas at 10:00. The Ben McCree will be leaving Douglas, 8:30, arriving, well, expected to arrive in Heysham at 12:45. And overnight, the Ben McCree leaves Heysham at 2:15 in the morning, expected in Douglas at 5:30. And from Douglas, 7:30 in the morning, the Mananan arrives in Liverpool at 10:15.
Follow the Steam Packet on Twitter for the latest sailing information.
A renewable energies expert is warning that if the island isn't seen to be making an active effort to combat climate change, it will have severe consequences for business projects, prospects and population. John Curtis, who's heavily involved in how businesses can help the island reach a 2050 net zero obligation, says a carbon taxation is likely, regardless of inflationary pressures contributing to the rising cost of living crisis.
So what will happen, for example, if you take the ferry to Liverpool, there'll probably be a surcharge on the crossing. If you take a flight, there'll be a surcharge because there is a carbon footprint associated with those journeys. At some point or other, there will be costs that will need to be met. The business community know this and they're prepared to engage with the government. Your original point was about the communication between the business community and the government. The Climate Transformation Team was set up to essentially provide a bridge between government and the general community, the business community, who employ all the residents of the island after all. There is a disconnect there and this needs to be addressed. We have no time to lose. Over the last 10 years or so, the Isle of Man's carbon footprint has been steadily increasing, whereas in the UK it's gone down by 40%. In fact, 95% or more of our energy needs on the island are provided through the burning of fossil fuels. This is a situation that needs to change. With respect to what has happened in the past, in 2012, the government entered into a consultation for a wind farm, and that project was dropped. In 2020, they looked at it again and that project was dropped. As far as I'm aware, the Isle of Man is the only nation in the Western world that does not have a single wind turbine to contribute towards renewable energy. This is shocking and it needs to be addressed. We're seeing a movement of people out of the island, not staying here. Again, at the moment, all of our energy is almost coming from fossil fuels. Even putting up one commercial wind farm onshore will show intent. The carbon footprint per capita of the people on the island is one of the highest in the Western world. This is not acceptable. We must do our part.
Manx Radio Business Briefing.
The new chairman of Conestoga Bank is John Spellman. He's been a director at the financial institution for 2 years and succeeds David Gibson, who's retired from the role, as well as his position as director of the firm's parent company, the Manx Financial Group. Hundreds of British Airways workers at Heathrow Airport have voted to go on strike over pay. United and GMB union members, who are mostly check-in staff, backed industrial action on Thursday. A total of 700 workers are set to strike during the summer holidays, when demand from travellers is expected to be near pre-pandemic levels. The union said the action was due to a 10% pay cut imposed during the peak of the pandemic not being reinstated. And Germany has taken a step closer to gas rationing after a drop in supplies from Russia. The country has triggered the alarm stage of an emergency gas plan to deal with shortages, the Germany's economy ministry said. It's the latest part of a standoff between the European Union and Russia over its invasion of Ukraine.
The Stock Market Report, brought to you by Ramsay Crookall.
Frasers Group has raised its stake in Hugo Boss to about £900 million in the last move by the UK retailer to boost its exposure to the German fashion brand. The UK-listed retail company, known for its Sports Direct, Flannels and House of Fraser brands, said on Wednesday that it had increased its direct holdings of Frankfurt-listed Hugo Boss shares to 4.9%. That's up from a previous level of 2.1%. It's also increased its indirect exposure to granting put options, which give the holder the right but not the obligation to sell Boss shares to Frasers at a set price in the future. The UK and European stocks closed lower as mounting fears of an impending recession weighed on investor sentiment. UK stocks climbed as investors weighed fresh unemployment data and braced for Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell's second day of testimony on Capitol Hill. Oil prices fell as investors weighed the risks of recession. Gold prices edged up and the markets at the close, FTSE 100, 7,020, that's down 0.97%. The DAX was 12,912, down 1.76%. At 5 o'clock, the Dow Jones was 30,483, that's up 0.1%. The exchange rates: the pound against the US dollar, 1.222, and the pound against the euro, 1.165. Gold is at $1,083. I'll start that again. It's at $1,833. That's down 0.25%. And Brent is 110.38. That's up 0.32.
I think Ellie's going to need some new school shoes.
Yeah, more money.
This is nothing. Wait till she wants to buy a car.
I know. We should be investing for a future.
We are. That's exactly why I took out the Shearwater investment account, because we can put in as little as £100 a month. It's just like saving. Perfect for building up a nest egg, for university, even buying her first house.
Oh, you're not as daft as you look, are you?
Invest in their future with as little as £100 a month. Shearwater from Ramsay Crookall, the island's investment specialist for 75 years. Call 717171 or visit ramsaycrookall.com. Licensed and regulated by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Tell us your opinion on the news. Email update@manxradio.com or text 166177.
And the tie-up now is 12 minutes to 6. 14 people have so far been referred into the Isle of Man's interim long COVID service, and that number is expected to increase. That's according to the health minister, who was quizzed on what help is available for those struggling with the illness by Arbury, Castletown and Malou MHK, Tim Glover.
Based on estimates produced by the ONS in the UK in relation to the UK population, if applied to the Isle of Man, there could be as many as 1,200 adults with long COVID or post-COVID syndrome. However, as this is an estimate based on UK data for the UK, Isle of Man figures could be very different. I can advise that approximately 50 people attended the listening events for the development of the long COVID service, and there have been 14 people referred into the current service. I expect the numbers referred into the service to increase as we step up resources over the next few months before the full rollout of the multidisciplinary long COVID service by September this year.
Supplementary, Mr. Glover.
14 referred to the unit seems an incredibly low number for specialist help, and I've had correspondence from many people, not just constituents, but around the island, who say once they've been diagnosed with COVID by a GP, they feel almost abandoned, and they're not being directed to where they can find out further information about how. Also had conflicting comments as well, that some are being told just to simply get on with life, whereas others are being told to pace themselves and ease back and recover fully. So somewhere something is not quite going correctly. Could the minister allude to what he thinks that may be?
I'm not really sure how to answer the honourable member's question. Individuals have concerns around symptoms and treatments. They need to talk to the most appropriate health professional to get healthcare advice. The wellbeing centres are up and running. People can drop into those. People can talk to their GPs or their pharmacists. There is advice out there, even on the website, on the government website, if people want to get their own tips and help on how to self-manage. And like I say, I've been advised the details on how to access and refer into the service has been passed on to GPs. I will go back to Manx Care and get that clarified and reiterate that it is very important that this advice is out there, that GPs are aware of the support and advice that the service can provide, and to make sure that that advice is getting passed on to patients.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today, or find us on Facebook.
And it's Fastamai to Rob Pritchard.
Fastamai, good evening. Starting with tennis, and it was another entertaining night last night in the latest instalment of the 2022 Isle of Man Senior Ireland County Championships at Douglas Lawn Tennis Club. Two matches took place in the women's doubles, both of which were decided in straight sets. Ava Osterbury and Ailish Kelly won 6-love, 6-1 against Jenny Foy and Amanda Munro, whilst Karen Farragher and Rosanna Manuja overcame Katsuya Yamazaki and Mikhaila Dukanova 6-1, 6-3. In the men's singles quarterfinals, a commanding display for number one seed Sean Drury, who beat Marius Grisevicius 6-love, 6-love. Number two seed Mark Chin is also through after a 6-2, 6-3 triumph over Joss Wolford. Sixth-ranked Ori Farnworth overcame third seed Robert Comer 7-5, 7-6 in a close contest, whilst fifth seed Jaden Jeremy Go beat Stephen Faulkner 6-1, 6-2. Looking to this evening, seven more matches are penned in. In the women's singles semi-finals, top seed Karen Farragher will face Katsuyo Yamazaki. Two matches in the men's singles, a consolation quarterfinal with Stephen Joyce versus Jabram Matik, and a consolation last 16 tie between Stevie Quine and Craig Swan. Also rounding off the schedule are three fixtures in the men's doubles and one in the mixed doubles. And in athletics, seven Manx athletes are set to compete at this weekend's British Track and Field Championships. Three are taking part in the respective 5,000-metre walk competitions, with Mia Dunwell and Erica Kelly in the women's section and Tom Partington in the men's class. Meanwhile, Sarah Astin will contest the women's 5,000-metre running contest, and David Malarkey will be involved in the men's 1,500 metres. And elsewhere, Joe Harris and Glenn Quayle are set to take part in the men's javelin and men's pole vault, respectively. There was also great news for a fellow Ireland competitor last weekend, as Rachel Franklin won the North of England women's 1,500-metre title in Wavertree on Merseyside, doing so in a time of 4 minutes 23.06 seconds.
Manx Radio Travel, driven by Quayside Tyres and Service Centre.
Starting off with departures from Ronald's Way. The Manchester 1750 was on time. Liverpool at 1800, it's also supposed to be on time. London Gatwick service, 9:05, also on time. The arrivals from Manchester, the 1720 was delayed, as was the 1725. From Liverpool, the 5:08 is scheduled to be on time. Also, the London City service into Rondlesway is also scheduled on time. London Gatwick 20:35 on time too. Look at the roads now, and in Douglas there are temporary lights until the 24th of July on Glen Crotchery Road, just near the turn-off for the police HQ. That's for the water main work. And during this time, there'll also be restrictions on Duke's Avenue. Also in Douglas, until tomorrow, temporary lights on John Watterson's Lane, 9:15 a.m. to 4 p.m. for telecom work. Braddon, until the 1st of July, temporary lights on the Crossag Road. That's 9:30 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. each day for work on manhole covers.
The only electric and hybrid vehicle service centre with 24/7 charging points. Get more with Quayside.
The Douglas City Mayor is hoping to inspire more of the younger generation to get involved in politics. Janet Tominey spoke to Manx Radio about her priorities while she's in office, 6 weeks after taking up the position.
It's taking me a couple of weeks for to get used to the title, I think. But yeah, it's set in now and I'm enjoying it.
How's your first few weeks in office been?
Absolutely hectic. My diary is full to bursting, but it's enjoyable. I get to do lots of nice things.
What are some of your long-term goals or your short-term goals that you can share with us?
As mayor and as part of what I see as my civic duties, I want to instill some more pride in the city, but I want to get youngsters on board with local politics. I've written to all the heads of the primary schools in Douglas, wanting to meet up with them and let them have a wee debate in the chamber, like they do in Junior Tynwald. But also, we're going to have a Young Champions Award, which is a community award. So I'm wanting head teachers to advise on how we go about that as well. As part of my fundraising bits for my charity, I've said it before, but I want to make our fundraising events family friendly and affordable and as much outdoors as possible in the summer. I don't want people having to incur costs that they can't afford.
You mentioned the importance of getting more youths involved. Have you noticed that gap where we're not seeing the younger generation enter into it, and what can we do to bring them more in?
I think there is a gap, but I did notice at the last elections, both local politics and nationally, there were more 16 and 17 year olds turning up. But I think we need to teach younger children about it so they grow up with that awareness.
In your time as mayor, what are some of the things that you've highlighted or you've picked out that you can work on?
Housing. Prior to becoming mayor, I was chair of the housing committee, housing and property committee, and that's still a big passion of mine. So I think there's a long way to go with housing, making it more, not easier for people to get on the list, but making it more equitable, if you like. Chris Thomas was talking the other day about reviewing the tariffs for first-time buyers. I'm passionate about doing the same for social housing.
And that's it for this evening. This has been Update, compiled by the Manx Radio Newsroom. Newsreader was Dave Moore, producer Amy Griffiths. After the news, Jack Lay, looking at life on the island from a different angle. And at 6:30, Chris Kinley will be here with another selection of some of the biggest hits from the past 50 years. And don't forget, if you listen to Update as a podcast anywhere in the world, thank you for making this the Isle of Man's most subscribed to news podcast. From me, Barry Redfern, good evening.